Texas band, actually, on Saturday.
That's right.
In the First Avenue main room. And they were fucking face melters. They were incredibly good. Let's turn it up just for a second when they get into the shouting. Trio McCluskey, I remember they burnt my face off a couple times back in the early 2000s, and then they didn't come back for like 8 years. They had a tour scheduled, but, well, you know, there was that whole international pandemic thing, and they had to shut it down, and then they finally came back, and oh my fucking God, they were so good on Saturday. Thank you for indulging me, Sean. I appreciate that. My name is Brian Oak. That is Sean Bernard. This is episode 380 of the Brian Oak Show podcast. How are you, Sean?
I'm doing well. So you left the house. You actually left the dogs. Who was minding the dogs?
Great question. This dog sitting thing is so stressful. Luckily, I'm recently unemployed from radio.
That is lucky.
I work well. Not really. No, actually, that may have come out wrong. But one day a week, I go work at the record store for 8 hours, and about hour five, I'm like, the dogs are dead. And when those people come home, I will have to just pile my remaining belongings into my truck and drive away. But the dogs are doing fine, and I went out, and they seem to be doing very well since I've gotten back. We're finding our rhythm. Kind of. It's weird. Sometimes dogs will sleep for 9 hours. Other times they're up every fucking hour and a half. But more on dog sitting later. It is the Brian Oak Show here in the Smart Start MN Studios in scenic and today beautiful South Minneapolis near 48th and Chicago. Smart Start MN is Minnesota's original ignition interlock company, but they're also the first people who ever jumped on board with the Brian Oak Show podcast and have been our stalwart allies for more than 4 years.
Yeah, it's been almost 4.5 years since they've been sponsoring this little startup that we had going.
And now, the gigantic driving engine that it is today, but they're still with us. Smart Start MN is Minnesota's original ignition interlock company. You drink, you drive. You're an idiot, but you can't let that be your defining thought moving forward. You made a bad mistake. It's okay. Now you got to put the pieces back together, and Smart Start MN will put you call it the doohickey, is that right?
Yeah, that's what they call it. That's when they brought it to the legislature. Like, we need a doohickey in vehicles so people can blow into them and then drive their spaceships.
And as long as their hover cars. Yeah. As long as you are not drunk, you'll be allowed to drive, and it's much easier and much cheaper than you might otherwise expect, given how expensive every single other aspect of a DUI might be. Talk to our friends at Smart Start. If you've made a bad mistake or if someone in your life needs that help, you need to get back to driving. You need to get in your car. SmartStartMN.com?
Yeah, SmartStartMN.com/The Brian Oak Show. That'll get you 20% off the installation of the ignition interlock system. Let's just say that somebody swung by a pub for St. Patrick's Day and they thought, I'm just going to have one or two. But then they got into the whiskey. Probably are going to need the services of Smart Start MN.
Having gotten into the whiskey myself.
A time or two.
You ever gotten into the whiskey yourself?
My last day of drinking had whiskey involved.
Yeah, yeah.
More than 10 years ago now, Brian.
The problem is it makes you feel like somewhere between Iron Man and an angel. You're like, there's nothing I can't do. I'm the sexiest person who ever lived. I'm bulletproof. There's literally, I'm going to jail tonight? Okay. All right. Very good. So try to avoid that. SmartStartMN.com/The Brian Oak Show to get the best deal you can possibly get. Before we get to today's guest, a couple of well-respected musicians who have got an album release show on the way. We'll get to them just ahead. The band is called The Neighborhood Quartet. But before we do that, I want to thank also the most recent sign-on, OA Design Build Architecture. Do we have any idea what kind of timeline we're looking at? I mean, because we've already put the video out for when you and I first sort of toured the skeletal guts of the place. But and then they're going to be working. It's a huge job. Do we know when we're going back for a little follow-up?
Well, we're going to do another video in the interim here in the next month or so.
All right.
We just got to get that scheduled. But yeah, eventually, it sounds like maybe by the end of this calendar year, they might be in a good spot for us to come back and do a completion video.
Will there be a Brian Oak Show wing? I mean, like, will there be a place where we always, much like a presidential suite, will there be a place that we are always welcome to stay should we knock on the door at the Pillsbury Castle?
I don't know if I'd take it that far, Brian.
Yeah?
I don't know if I'd say that we'd have a standing invite, but I'm sure if we rapped on the door from time to time, they'd let us in.
I don't know that that's true at all, actually. OA Design Build Architecture does high-end stuff. They're really good. They're quality. They take care of their employees. They actually don't hire on position, you know, for various gigs. They have their own in-house employees. They take care of them. They give them health care. They do the things you're supposed to do when you're trying to run a proper business.
Absolutely. OADesignBuild.com.
Coming up next, we're going to be talking to a couple of guys who have known their way around a live show or two, been in the studio a couple of times, played a few songs. But before we get to Steve Rome and Dan Schwartz, we are going to hear a little music from... This popped back up in my mind lately when I've been, like, flipping around. I always listen to the local sports station, but I don't really like sports. I just like it when they're talking about non-sports
stuff.
Because KFAN, fine. I'm going to mention them.
That's fine. I don't mind that.
I like everybody.
We've got
a lot
of friends over there.
A lot of friends over there. But when they start talking about college hockey or college basketball, I'm like, bleh. So I've been drifting around. And Radio K, after years of me not caring about it, and it's my alma mater. That was the very first radio I ever did in the Twin Cities back when it was WMMR. They seem to have found a new groove. Now, all the DJs still sound like 18-year-olds. That's to be expected. But the music they're playing, I've now lived long enough that a lot of the old cool stuff has cycled back around in terms of milieu, in terms of oeuvre. And this is one of those that I absolutely love. From just a couple of years ago, it was one of my favorite songs of the year. This is Horse Girl with Anti-Glory on The Brian Oak Show.
We'll be right back.
turns out, still delicious a couple of years afterwards. Anti-Glory by Horse Girl on the Brian Oak Show.
Half horse, half girl? Or?
I don't know the answer to that. There are a couple of horses in the video for that song running around a paddock, but I honestly don't have any idea where the name comes from. Hmm. I dig their early 90s aesthetic. Let's talk about something else, Sean. What do you say?
I like it.
Shall we talk about the Neighborhood Quartet?
I'd love to do that.
All right, tell me how this bubbled up for you, because you brought this to my attention.
So because the Twin Cities has 2 degrees of separation, we've of course met Steve before, but I first saw Dan Schwartz perform at the old O'Gara's, which is no longer there because that's how old we are now, Dan.
Oh, dear.
Back in probably 97, 96.
That seems right.
His album, The Art of Making Fire, was out. My wife and I absolutely loved the album. It was one of those where we listened to it over and over and over again. And there is a song about a teacher in it. Wow. So my wife's a teacher. So she, of course, loved the song about
teacher. Is it a lo-fi synthesized version of Hot for Teacher by Van Halen?
That's exactly what it is.
I love that very much. By the way, Dan, we have not met before today. Dan Schwartz, very nice to meet you.
Hey, I'm happy to be here.
I'm glad to have you. And Steve, you and I have met a few times before, and you both have played music with a lot of different acts, just because I like to lay a little groundwork. Dan, tell me who else you played with that people might have gone out to see.
Well, I've done a lot of solo stuff, but I've backed up years ago, Peter Mayer and Neil and Leandra for the folk side of things in town.
That's a duo name I've not heard in a long time.
Yeah,
Wild.
House,
I didn't know
Red
that.
House
yeah,
label.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. And Dan Navarro, when he comes through town, I get to play with him. He's here a couple times a year, and I get to back him up.
You've done this for a long time. Is it still fun? Do you still love it? Or do you feel like, or is it like almost like a drug-like compulsion where you have no choice but to keep making music?
Well, I don't know the drug-like compulsion, but the no choice part for sure.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Steve, just to give people know the name Steve Rome, but just to give a little background, New Standards is what probably most people think of immediately, but you've been making music for a long time as well.
Yep, and I would say the New Standards has the highest profile The Neighborhood Quartet used to be the Neighborhood Trio, and Sean's nephew played in it.
Cousin played in it.
Right.
So it's just kind of, uh-oh.
You're fine.
Yeah, it's the underneath.
It's that thing, just tighten it up. We'll be fine.
No, that's all right.
So, yeah, and then
that's crazy. I mean, what a small world.
Yep.
Cousin Michael, yeah.
Super nuts. And then I was just looking through my email, and somebody reached out recommending a guest for our podcast, and it turns out that this person's dating someone in the Neighborhood Quartet, because, of course, that's the way Minneapolis works. It's never been otherwise.
And St. Paul, right, Dan?
Yes, and exactly. Sample.
Okay, okay. No disrespect. I guess I meant the Twin Cities and surrounding area. Up until we get to the 694 and 494 loop. And
screw being those people.
I was going to say, being a Coon Rapids kid, fuck off. All right. Stay out. Stay up there. No, that's a joke, of course. We swear on this show all the time. We have said not wildly controversial things, but no one's ever really pushed back. And we have listeners.
Not yet.
Dun 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 dun! You guys want to be the first? You want to get canceled with me? Should we
sure,
do
yeah,
it?
Yeah, let's do okay. it.
It's
no,
time.
No, let's I'm not. Yeah. Do it. That sounds terrible.
We're just talking just the outer ring of the Twin Cities. Is that where we're going after?
Well, 694, 494 loop. Oh no, you want to head way out of town? I give a shit about Eagles Bend, man. I don't care.
We're not broadcasting. We're microcasting.
Oh.
This reaches hundreds and hundreds of people.
Literally tens of people are enjoying this right now. Tell me about the birth. So you both played music a lot. How do you two know each other?
Well, Steve and I have played together in years. I saw him play back when I moved back from Milwaukee. I was living there and going to school. I came back. Saw Steve playing, perhaps in
at
that
Chitters.
Trio.
At Chitters. It was at Chitters with your cousin and another guy. We used to play.
Oh, wow.
Chitters used to be this happening coffee spot on Nicollet where now the Target headquarters is, and that was just the coolest block.
Yeah.
They had, like, the Times and a bunch of art galleries, and it was, like, when I was starting to play the vibraphone, and we would just play, and that's where I met Dan. He would show up here and there. And from there, we I think Dan invited me to play on the album that The Art of Making Fire.
The next one after
the one after that.
Yeah.
So that's how we started our relationship. And then over the years, what would happen is Dan would get gigs and he would want to kind of flesh it out more than just a solo artist. So he'd call me, and then I learned a bunch of his songs, and then we would hire a different bass player, and just kind of have a trio. And we kind of tagged along for 2 or 3 years like that. And then we just decided that we would take the old name, Your Neighborhood Trio, and turn it into The Neighborhood Trio. I don't know why. I wanted to ditch the name, but everyone...
We liked it too much.
Everyone liked it.
Well, what did you want to call it? Did you want to call it, like, the Zoltrons, or the...
Square Peg was the one that you
wanted to call it. I still want to call it Square Peg.
That sounds like an 80s, name. New Wave band.
Yeah, Square Peg. Hear about the party.
I think we all remember that theme song, but the Square Peg theorem is very much alive and well in today's world that we live in, so... Maybe just buy the website, just in case anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Although I guarantee you someone's already got squarepeg.com. I would imagine.
That's long gone.
Here's the deal. You two are both, I know that you both play a lot of different instruments, but Steve, you're best known for your vibes playing.
Yeah.
And I would say that you are best known for your pedal steel. These are not common everyday instruments. I wouldn't think on paper, I guess, of course, I'm not really much of a musician or know anything about music theory, but thinking of pedal steel or even acoustic guitar with vibes, I guess you could cool it down. You could jazz it out. But you two found a natural rhythm together, right?
Yeah, I think that's been a big thing of kind of letting the instruments do their thing in our group. I mean, the steel guitar has got kind of a vocal thing to it. So with our instrumental stuff, that's always been a thing that drew it to me. But I think historically there's those groups, like there's some old jazz groups, I can't name them, but there's some groups that had those two instruments together.
Yeah.
Maybe even on the Hawaiian side of things, there was vibraphone that was kind of leaning into that.
Well, a lot of that old school stuff, so like working in a record store as I do, I collected that a lot of that, and I don't want to call it necessarily exotica. It doesn't mean it has to sound like it's from Polynesia.
Yeah.
But, you got your Walter Wanderleys and your Arthur Lymans, who incorporated a lot of these different types of... Yeah. Martin Denny, whoever else. You get these artists who incorporate these disparate elements. It's just not very common. And now suddenly I want to go see your show. We're going to talk about the new album. We're going to talk about the album release show that's coming up. But first, I feel we would be remiss if we didn't hear a little music.
Yeah.
Songs here at the top. Which one are we going to play? And tell us the reason why we're choosing these particular songs. Which one do you want to do first?
We'll play Hey Fellas, just because it's a fun... I think you're... People like it. They don't like any of our other stuff, but they like this one. So before we get canceled, don't. No, I'm just kidding. It's great stuff.
You don't have to know that Steve wrote this song.
Oh, I wrote this song. It doesn't matter.
All right, you win. That was fucking tasty. The Neighborhood Quartet on the Brian Oakes Show podcast. You know, I rattle off all those names like Walter Wanderley and Martin Denny and that kind of stuff. And the thing I would like to say about the music you made right there is, and this is a compliment, I swear. It's the kind of music that is equally engaging if you're doing active listening with headphones on and sitting there enjoying it, or if it's on in the background while you're fucking folding laundry. It's a good vibe. It's a really good. Is the whole record sound like that?
Yeah.
That half.
The other half is, we got two sides to the record. There's the groovy side.
And that was called Hey Fellas, correct?
Yep.
So that's the thesis on this record. That's side one, track one.
Yep.
All right.
So you get some more of that, and then when you get to the end, and you have your dinner, and you have your nice glass of wine, and you want to chill out and feel the prairie.
Is that a metaphor? You want to feel the prairie?
Man, that's been years since I felt the prairie.
I would love to feel the prairie.
And now we're discontinued.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So,
you wanted to get canceled, right?
No, tell me. I need you to put a slightly finer point on side two.
I felt the foothills, but I've never felt the prairie.
Yeah, no, I've spent a lot of time out there, but it's a dry, thirsty land, and I don't like it. When you say feel the prairie, what's the other side like? A little more countrified?
I'll let Dan answer.
Dan, please.
One word, groovy for side A.
Yeah.
Ethereal for side B.
Oh, so like we're talking like somewhere between Eno and...
No. We're talking prairie. We're talking feel the prairie.
We're going to know.
So we're going to hear lap steel guitar and some.
It's a little more folky.
A rye-cootery kind of. I hate being who I am right now because I know that you're not like anybody else. But I'm just trying to put a finer point on it for myself so that I understand what I'm getting into.
We've got kind of two sides of how we write. Basically, like the groovy side, like we just heard.
Yeah.
The B side's a little more chill, mellow.
Okay.
And folk-based melodies.
Got it.
I would say that not necessarily instruments don't necessarily have to change. I didn't play a ton of lap steel on this record.
Right.
but there's some on both sides. So that part, not necessarily instruments change, but it's just the vibe. When we started putting this together, we were realizing this is kind of equal that we've got this on, and the fact that we're doing an album, an LP, let's give them a whole chunk of this. What mood you feeling like right now tonight? You want to go? You know, we can, like Steve said, after dinner, chill out. You can put it on side two. I like that idea of kind of committing to you're putting on an album and you've got, you got your 20, 25 minutes.
That's why I collect
What's
vinyl.
What's the vibe you want?
It's a ceremony. Yes. It is an actual ritual.
Yeah,
you put it on, you're kind of committed to the bit. There's going to be great songs. There's going to be mediocre songs. I'm not talking about your record in particular, but any record that anyone's ever put on. You're not going to worship every single song, although apparently on side two of this new release by the Neighborhood Quartet, you can feel... The prairie. I'm stealing that, man. I love feel
t-shirts.
The prairie. Exactly right. Sean, you brought up an interesting point to me that Dan has worked with somebody who I've never met, but is a wildly, almost freakishly talented guitarist. You brought this up to me, and I didn't know about this.
Well, yeah, Billy McLaughlin. When I first saw Dan, that's what he was doing that you said it's called a two-finger tapping?
Yeah, two-handed tapping.
Finger-style
guitar.
Yeah. And it was just, it's mesmerizing to watch if you've, I'd say that the two guys that come to mind are you and Billy McLaughlin when I think about it. But you were also looping, which I had not seen much of that done either. So we're at O'Gara's pub and we're just like blown away. And of course it's O'Gara's pub, so some people are just completely greased and not paying attention. But most of the people were sitting forward and watching him perform at that particular show, and I was just, my wife and I both were just blown away and totally committed to
Days, man. I played O'Gara's like all through college.
Yeah.
Just about every weekend, and I'd even drive back from Milwaukee to go do that gig. It was fun. Those were fun days, but I will do none of that at the show coming up.
Yeah,
it's a completely different thing with the quartet, but I love all that. And I love Billy and I love fingerstyle guitar. But I also love playing with other people, and that's kind of where things are at more and more now of not doing it all by myself.
You bring up a very interesting point to me right there. Over the course of my career, I've interviewed hundreds, possibly thousands of various musicians. Realized long ago I was never going to have the fortitude or the discipline to be a musician myself, but I love to understand the process, and it comes from a thousand different angles. For every musician you talk to, it's never the same story twice. So do you like to sit down by yourself in the quietude for hours and let songs come to you? Do you prefer the process in the studio with other people? Do you prefer playing live? Of this life of music you have crafted for yourself, what is personally to you, Mr. Schwartz, what is the most satisfying aspect of what you do?
I think taking an idea that I came to me somehow, however, and bringing it to somebody else, and we see what happens.
You're willing to let other people mess around with your magical idea.
I love it.
Yeah. So composition with experimentation, is that kind of what gets you?
Yeah, I love that. And even on this particular record, all the songs were written. The one person wrote the entire song. So I wrote a set of them. Steve wrote a set of them. Nick Salisbury, our bass player, wrote a tune. But a lot of the stuff throughout the years, Steve and I have written together. And I love that collaboration of like, I don't really know. I need a, and Steve was like, hey, it needs a bridge. And we're done. Here's your bridge.
That's fantastic.
And, you know, so I love that. And I love even, you know, just performances too of like, the tune's done, but let's just stretch it out tonight.
It's very fun when like Dan brings me a song or I bring him one. And, you know, when I hear Dan's music, I'm like, oh my God, that's great. Oh, that's great. And then I start hearing ideas when I hear his music. Like, have you tried this one thing? Because usually it doesn't need anything. You know, it's already great as itself, but like when it inspires you and then there's
absolutely
the malleability to go, hey, would you mind if we change this chord on the second time around? And he's like, oh my God, that's cool. And then it might lead to another idea.
Well, you develop a level of communication over the years, right? Where like if sometimes somebody brings something up, you're like, that's not what I was going for. Nobody gets butthurt. Yeah. But if somebody brings up something brilliant, it's wonderful. And you have suddenly a chance to do, dare I say the word, synergy. Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah.
You were going to feel the prairie.
I really thought there was going to be a callback there.
I was saving that for the end. Trust me, feel the prairie before the end of the podcast.
Does this next song feel the prairie? That's what I want to know.
Totally stepping on my touchdown call.
Okay, sorry.
Tell me about this next song and tell me about feeling the prairie.
All right, this is going to side two now. This is the first track on side two, the end of October. This is one of my tunes. And yeah, it's a little more dreamy, a little more prairie-like. It kind of has the idea of, I don't know, like the end of anything you don't really want to end. For me, this was the end of October, kind of looking at, it's going to get darker. It's going to get, not that I don't like winter, but that it's the end of something that we're getting into, maybe and you're not looking forward to.
I love that. That was really cool.
Feel the prairie. Yeah. On the Brian Oak Show. Steve Rome, Dan Schwartz joining us right now. They're part of the Neighborhood Quartet, and there are two other guys that we've talked about, and we'll talk about the one guy we haven't talked about yet, which is Greg, who's on drums. But before we do that, you've got this brand new record. A record is a labor of love. Even if you are a studio rat and you love doing it, it's hard work, right? Like, you have to go through and you listen over and over and you try, unless you guys are like those kind of aces where you sit down and nail it on the first take every single time.
It's a process.
It is. And how long did it take, would you say, from start to finish? Well, obviously, these songs have been gestating for a while. Yeah. But when it comes to sitting down, like, all right, day one, let's put some shit on tape. That was another old-fashioned reference for some of our older listeners.
Two years.
Two years.
Well, yeah, but the actual sessions themselves. Yeah. We did it in two.
We did it
two
in,
separate sessions that were 4 or 5 months apart.
Okay. Well, but that seems pretty efficient. Like, this whole album was recorded in two sessions.
Yeah.
Wild. Yeah. Well, I mean, it speaks to the professionalism that I'm obviously in the face of.
And
here.
To, like you mentioned, we've been playing these songs live for a long time. Yeah. So a lot of them, we had the arrangements and things, you know, it was ready to roll. There were a couple tunes that Nick's tune brought his in at the studio, and we just played it and it worked.
This is self-titled, yeah? Sorry.
Yep.
Did I just interrupt you?
No.
Oh, okay. This is self-titled. It's the Neighborhood Quartet. Now, before we talk about the release show, if someone was like, that sounds delicious, whether I want to feel the prairie or get groovy, I would like to own a copy of this. Are physical copies of, I mean, I'm holding one in my hand, so I'm assuming there's somewhere people can go to get their hands on this at some point.
Yep, it's not yet. April 20th, Record Store Day, is the day we had kind of put it out there. So it will be
420, bro. 420. Yeah.
420.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Please continue.
We'll have it out then. You can go to our site and Bandcamp. It's already out for pre-order. So through Bandcamp, you can get it there. But it'll be at Mill City on the 20th.
I love that place.
I do too.
I will actually be there on Record Store Day, because even when I wasn't working there anymore and I was back in radio, there's something about Record Store Day. And people, I expected this bubble to pop about 5-8 years ago. Uh-huh. People still give an absolute shit about vinyl records, and it's fun to watch, man. I love going in there, so that's great. Now, you can't put out a great new release like this without celebrating and showing the people what you've made. When and where and how and what does that release party?
Well, it's going to be at the Parkway.
Literally two doors down from where we're sitting right now.
Yep. And it's going to be April 28th, which is a Sunday. And it's going to be an earlier show. I think doors are at 6.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sean and I have been advocating for this for a long time. Even when I was younger, I'm like, I don't really want to be here till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
But now, as a 55-year-old man, a show starting at 6.
Almost 56.
Why don't you settle the fuck down, all right? Why don't you worry about how old you are, Sean, all right? But we love the idea of, and it doesn't have to be at 11 in the morning. It doesn't have to be a matinee show so I can go home and get my cottage cheese and peaches and get my Afghan on my lap. But earlier shows just, they jibe with where I'm at in life right now.
Me too.
Yep. That's why we arranged it that way. And there will be an opener. It's going to be Dylan Hicks and Small Screens.
Wow.
Cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be a cool
Dylan's
night.
Awesome.
Wow. All right. Very. And I'm assuming tickets are available now. And again, the Parkway Theater, they've done it right. And they have such an amazing sort of menagerie of programming ranging from the film to the music. It's comfortable in there.
It's a great place.
I love the vibe that they've done there, and I'm glad to see it survive and, frankly, thrive the way it's thriving right now. It's a cool place.
And a seated show, which I always enjoy. I don't have to stand up for 3 hours. That's good for the lower back.
Talking to someone about this just yesterday, I went to see McCluskey in the First Avenue main room and stood on my aging hips and knees for about 3.5 hours.
Is that why you have the walker now?
I know it's a Lark scooter is what
he calls a Texas Ranger.
Exactly. Little tennis balls on the end of the walker. Yeah, no, we're not quite there yet, but I felt it the next day, and that sucked. So a seated show, I'm all about it. Dylan Hicks will be opening. The Neighborhood Quartet will be headlining. That's coming up on the 28th.
Did you say...
The 28th of April.
Yep. Yes.
How did 420 come up then?
That's when the album will be available.
Ah, that comes out on Record Store Day, and then the celebration happens on the 28th. But I also noticed there are some other shows in the offing here. You will be playing more shows this spring.
Oh, yeah. There'll be some more shows, yep.
We're always playing.
Go to your website to find that?
Yeah.
What's the web address again?
.com, theneighborhoodquartet.com.
And none of that silly UK spelling of neighborhood, just O-R, not O-U-R. Right. All right, let's not get fancy and let's not get weird.
No.
Theneighborhoodquartet.com. That's where I'm following all of my information right now. And in fact, you got shows all through April and early May. And look at that. You're going to be playing all over the spot. That is really tasty stuff. I was like, well, I'm more of a groovy guy than a feel the prairie kind of guy.
Not anymore.
Well, but that was a gorgeous song. End of October was beautiful.
It is. And I wanted to mention something because I would be remiss not to mention Greg Schutte, our drummer.
Well, and that, I was about to bring him up because Greg Schutte apparently figures largely into the world of the Neighborhood Quartet.
Yes. You know, we were a trio for the longest time. And then once we got Greg in the band, everything just got so easy because he's just so musical. And it's just nice to just be able to, like, throw your musical idea on top of a groove and not have to worry about the time. And we recorded it at Greg's place. He's got a studio, and he's just a treat to work with, and it's just good.
The way that everyone seems to get along in this band and understand one another and grow and bounce off one another, it almost sounds like a musical version of Sister Wives. I'm going to be honest. Somehow, they have managed to make a large family
work. Well, they do feel the prairie like Sister Wives.
Feel the prairie.
Oh, my
God. I only use that analogy.
That's our... Your catchphrase is, you just got oaked. This is our... I made up your catchphrase, and you made up ours.
All right, well, I you know what? I love it. If you ever make T-shirts that say, feel the prairie, or if you ever need that, like, say you're going to play back-to-back songs at side B, I'll record that for you for free. It's all yours. Just feel the prairie and boom, right into the next one.
If you guys need us on one of the Feel the Prairie songs and you want to make it the Neighborhood Sextet just for like one Feel the Prairie, we're there for you. We'll be there.
There we go.
Feel the Prairie. Lovely to talk to both you gentlemen today. The Neighborhood Quartet, a new self-titled release out on Record Store Day, a.k.a. 420. And given the groovy and Feel the Prairie nature of it, sounds like it might pair very lovely with some deep bong rips. So I would say go ahead and celebrate it the day it comes out and go see
just
their album release
right
show.
Yeah.
Exactly, you know. But don't miss the crossfade, okay? No, nobody's cool who's like asleep on the couch. Just enjoy yourself. Take it easy.
Side two in the couch. And side A, Stativa.
Exactly. See, thank you. Dan gets it. He gets it. Gentlemen, I hope you have a great time touring behind this. It's great music. I'm going to come out to see one of these shows. The album release show is happening at the Parkway on the 28th. Details at the Parkway's website and also theneighborhoodquartet.com. I hope 2024 is good to both of you.
Thank you.
I hope it's also good to you, Sean, and I realize we almost wrapped things up without talking to you about your Britness.
Well, it's important to put me right there in the last 3 minutes of the show.
Unbelievable,
with my advertising message.
I got caught up and was having a great time with them. Sean, in addition to being podcast producer extraordinaire and administrator and basically all the things other than my jabbering into the microphone, is also an agent for Remax Results and is busy moving those houses.
Yeah, things are getting crazy busy. Just had a closing yesterday up in Duluth. Really cool property up there. Congratulations to Bill and Erica. Fans of the show, they're moving on to Grand Rapids, Michigan as we speak.
Luckily, you can listen to this show anywhere you can get on
you
the internet,
sure
right?
Can. The only thing is he told me his daughter listens to it with him, and I'm like, oh, no, because of the...
How old is his daughter?
I think she's like teens. I think that's right. I'm not sure. He'll correct me. He'll send me an email, but...
Stay in school. Don't do drugs.
It's better than watching some violence on TV. A couple of curse words.
The F word is fine. Don't be afraid of the F word. Nobody ever got hurt by the F word, but people do get hurt by drugs and alcohol and weapons. Drugs kill dreams. Sports keep kids off the streets.
So, 612-859-2594. I donate a portion of every buy and sell to an area musician or band, and they have chosen somebody I've donated to before, but I'm going to donate to again, Courtney Yasmine. will get another donation.
Who's got a brand new record, by
yeah,
the way.
Exactly. So we'll have to swing her back in here, but yeah, I'll be sending off her donation tomorrow. So
lovely.
Thank you so much. 612-859-2594. That number is also textable.
Thanks to Sean Bernard. Thanks to Smart Start MN. Thanks to OAC, designbuild.com. Thanks to all of our Patreon members. Thanks to anybody who's ever listened, shared, amplified what we do here. Nobody is more surprised than Sean and I that 4.5 years later, we are still sitting here doing this, and we're at
getting to be goofballs.
380. You know. It's great, but apparently people enjoy it. But I think they enjoy it because we bring, like, rock stars,
fun
bars.
People.
Like if it was just
smart,
you and me
smarter
sitting
than
here,
us. Yeah.
You and me
yeah.
sitting here every week.
That would be
that,
so
that
tiresome.
Show would have been over 4+ years
yes,
ago.
Yes, it would have.
Gentlemen, have a good year. Anything you want to say before we get into the final song?
Nope. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Well, what about a manifesto to take over the world or tell people to not be such giant dickheads or anything? I'll take care of that.
I think you can do that.
Yeah, what's the right, name of the song? Can you give us that?
There's no telling.
There's no telling.